This episode is brought to you by Pyro Media Network. Before we dive into today's episode, we want to take a moment to address a sensitive topic. Today's discussion may touch on subjects related to mental health, including suicide. We understand that these topics can be distressing for some listeners, so we want to offer a content warning. Listener discretion is advised. If you or someone you know is struggling with thoughts of self-harm or suicide, please seek help immediately. You are not alone, and there are people and resources available to support you. You can dial 988 for your local support and resource line, or 911 if you are in immediate danger. We encourage you to prioritize your well-being, and if you feel uncomfortable with this content, feel free to skip this episode. Your mental health is essential, and we want to ensure that you have the support and resources you need. Now, let's get started with the show.
Welcome back to Coffee with Kim, the podcast. This is a safe space where you can just sit back, relax, and enjoy the conversation. So today is an extremely important and special podcast for me. I have my youngest daughter here, Zion. She's with me. And we're going to have a very what some folks may call hot conversation, honest, open, and transparent. And one of the topics that we're going to start with is mental health. And I know that's a hot button right now in our society. You know, people are talking about mental health all over the place. And it's a great topic for us to discuss. But, you know, mental health has different meanings when it hits home. And so, you know, as a family, we've had some experiences dealing with mental health. And I've been waiting a long time to have you here with me, Z. So welcome to my podcast. Thank you for coming. And thank you for just being willing to share. We've spoken already. You know, you said you're pretty open to, you know, discuss whatever. And of course, you know, I'm your mama, so I'm not going to put you out there. But, you know, one thing I do know is whenever you are testifying of things that have gone on in your life, and I don't mean you personally, I mean people, whenever we testify to things that have gone on in our lives and we share and we're open, a couple things happen. One, because we are believers, the enemy no longer can hold that over your head. And then number two, somebody can be helped, you know, and yeah. I'll add a third one too. Okay. And it, you kind of overcome some things too, yeah, when you put it out there in the atmosphere. And so I'm just real grateful today that you're here with me. And I mean that in many ways. And we'll get to that a little later. But I want to ask you, how are you today?
Well, for one, what's up, everybody? I hope y'all are doing good. Thank you for tuning in. Today, I'm doing okay today.
You're doing good?
Yeah, I'm doing, I wouldn't say good, but I'm okay. Like, I'm okay. You know, I'm okay. Yeah. Today was kind of like an okay day. And one thing someone told me recently, that I talk to often about, like, my mental health, is like, they told me, you know, it's okay to just have those okay days. You know, it doesn't have to be a good or a bad day. It can just be okay, you know?
So what would you say? That's interesting to me. That's very interesting to me. So what would you say would be the difference between an okay day and a good day for you?
I would say an okay day for me is a day where it's like, I may not be super high in energy and feeling, you know, super good and, you know, talking to everybody, but it's not a day where I'm feeling low about myself. You know, mm-hmm. I'm not feeling, you know, not having super negative thoughts. You know, okay. I'm not just in a super low place, but like, mm-hmm. I'm just, you know, I'm okay. Like I'm living. I'm alive.
Awesome. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah.
Okay. So just share a little bit about, because I'm sure people are like, what are they talking about?
Yeah.
But just share a little bit about your journey as far as mental health is concerned.
Yeah, so I would say my journey as far as mental health started probably, as far back as like elementary school, I would say around that time. Mm-hmm. The earliest I remember struggling with my mental health is probably around like 11 or 12. Mm-hmm. So I was pretty young, but I kind of forgot about it for a little while. And then it wasn't until like, I think not our last move, but the one before that, mm-hmm. I had found like an old journal that I had from when I was younger. And wow. In it, you know, I kind of like saw some things that like, kind of just made things make sense as to why, like, I was in high school at that time of that move, but
okay.
Why I was feeling the way I was feeling. Mm-hmm. And it kind of just, like, clicked of, like, okay, so this isn't just, you know, it's not just random. I just didn't just randomly start having these feelings. Like, okay. I kind of been dealing with this, you know, since I was young and didn't know or have, like, the words, you know, to really, like, pinpoint what exactly it was. And so, yeah, I would say as far back as then, when I was younger, when I discovered that journal, that's when I really kind of started to realize all those experiences that I had when I was younger. Mm-hmm. And like now having the words and like understanding like what it is, yeah. Like being able to identify it. So right. Like being able to identify when I was younger and I would avoid social settings, you know, whether mm-hmm. it be school or family mm-hmm. or friends or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm able to identify that now. It's like, okay, like, that's social anxiety. You know, like, the feelings that I got, you mm-hmm. know, the anxiety, you know. Like, when I was younger, I was a very anxious kid. Like,
right. And let me say this.
Yeah.
I don't think people were having these types of conversations about mental health, mm-hmm. about anxiety.
Right.
You know, social awkwardness and mm-hmm. depression and, you know, things of that sort. I don't think those were like conversations or topics that people were talking about mm-mm. that much.
Yeah.
So I can only imagine that there were a lot of people struggling with, you know, their mental health.
Yeah.
And they didn't know what was going on. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of people probably thought, I'm crazy. Is something mm-hmm. wrong with me? Mm-hmm. You know, and honestly, I can even go back much further than that mm-hmm. when you were 11 or 12. But I just know, like, for me, mm-hmm. as a young person growing up,
yeah,
you know, people weren't into, especially us people, you know,
right, black people.
We weren't going to therapists and we yeah. weren't going to counseling and, right. you know, we weren't seeing a psychiatrist, a psychologist. We weren't taking medication.
Mm-hmm.
We thought all that stuff was, you know, meant you were crazy.
Right. Something was really.
Yeah. It was something really wrong with you, you know, yeah. And we, you know, and those of us who, you know, were religious people or
mm-hmm.
are relationship people, you know, we want to pray it out and shout mm-hmm. it out and sing it out
right.
and church it out, you know, so. There's quite a few, I'm pretty sure there are quite mm-hmm. a few people in your age group.
Yeah.
And I know it's a plenty of us in my age yeah. group who suffered from, you know, depression, anxiety, and, mm-hmm. and those types of, and even some more serious types of mental health issues, you know, people mm-hmm. needing medication and things to help them cope.
Mm-hmm.
Even folks doing some, self-medication, mm-hmm. you know,
Right.
Taking drugs and alcohol and things like that just to kind of mellow out so they don't have to deal with
right
what they were going through. So
yeah, most definitely.
Yeah. I know that was probably, you know, something that you would struggle with because it just wasn't something people were talking about.
Right. Yeah. No, most definitely. Yeah. And so like, even with me being in, you know, Gen Z or whatever, like I still struggled with like that stigma, you know, like I didn't want that to be me or I didn't want to feel like a burden, or I didn't want to, you know, bring up old stuff, like having conversations with y'all and like, you know, my siblings and like bringing up stuff from like when I was a kid. Like, I didn't want to be that person bringing up old stuff, but I have to and I had to in order to like move forward for myself, you know,
most definitely.
I didn't want to be that person that, you know, I didn't want to be sensitive. I didn't want to be that, you know, that one, you know, and so, yeah, but like going back, so I would say, when I was younger, I always kind of like struggled with myself, just was always very like self-conscious, very anxious as a kid. Like, I remember worrying just about like stuff that I really didn't have to worry about.
You did.
I would worry about, you know, whether I was going to get sick or get cancer or, you know, if I was going, you know, I don't know, get in a car accident, just like random stuff.
I remember a period of time where I had to make you stop watching the news.
Yeah.
Because it really had a great effect on you. Mm-hmm. Now, here's the thing. As a mom, it didn't dawn on me about the mental health piece, you know, the anxiety and depression, things like that. I was just kind of like, well, you know, she just thinks too deeply into this kind of stuff. So I'm just going to shut her down from watching the news for a period of time, you know, and maybe, you know, think. And I remember telling you, think about kids stuff. You know?
Right. I'm like, what does that mean?
What does that mean? You know, think about, you know, you're a kid. You don't have to worry about a heart attack. Yeah. You don't have to worry about cancer. Yeah, you know, things like that.
Right.
I remember saying those things, you know.
Yeah, that was definitely like my first few experiences that I can recall.
Yeah.
And it's crazy because I want to go back to that a little later on in our conversation, because I know we had talked a little bit about the book I'm reading.
Yeah.
About like how sometimes like our behaviors and traits and even like disorders, like mental health disorders and whatnot, can be passed down generationally.
Yeah.
You know, inherited, like literally on the cellular level. And so I want to talk about that, because once I started reading this book, I saw a lot of correlation between me and Granny.
Wow. What's the name of the book?
It's called It Didn't Start With You by Mark Wolin. But yeah, he's a psychiatrist.
Okay.
He studies psychiatry. But yeah, so we can go back to that later. But yeah, that was one of my first few experiences that I can recall, just on like that level as a kid. And then also just always feeling super out of place everywhere I went.
Right.
And I didn't really know how to verbalize it. And I had a lot of shame around it because I didn't understand it. And so therefore, of course, you know, you guys, like the family, didn't really understand it.
Right.
And I feel like oftentimes it would come off as like me being standoffish or not wanting to engage or not wanting to. But in reality, I was battling myself in my head.
Yeah.
You know, and didn't know how to like verbalize it.
Yeah.
I remember school was like hell for me up until like, I believe, middle school, because I mean, I would literally like sit in the bathroom sometimes for like long periods of time, just like racing, like heart racing and like palms sweaty, and like wouldn't want to get up in class, like afraid that like my sweat stain on my butt was so so much that like if I got up, people gonna think I peed myself, like you know, just stuff like that, like and yeah, I never really like engaged much. And I think it even got to a point in third grade where you guys didn't realize it at the time, but you know, I was having that issue, you know, with that teacher.
Yeah. Man, your dad went up to school and he was about to get busy with the teacher. And had no idea that that was an internal thing that you were dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
you know, because she wanted to, you know, honestly, she wanted to blame it on, I guess, Dad and I.
Yeah, she's trying to find problems with that.
Yeah, I remember her asking me, you know, is there anything going on at home? And I was thinking, what?
Yeah.
Well, there's always something going on in a home. Mm-hmm. No, home is perfect.
Exactly.
But there wasn't anything that I knew of at that time that was happening in our home that would have affected you so deeply like that. We had no idea that you were struggling in that area. And I just, you know, I want to say to probably some parents that are out there listening now that, you know, don't punish yourself because you didn't know.
Yeah.
Because what you didn't know or what you don't know, you know, you just don't know, you know, and everybody is not in tune with mental health or everybody is not up on what depression looks like, what anxiety looks like, you know, what social, you know, awkwardness looks like or what that means. I mean, there are many times, you know, we have a big, huge family and we all love each other. You know, we go through our stuff, but, you know, we always, you know, don't let somebody else step to us. Right. And so,
we're
going to catch you
multiple
ways, right?
Multiple ways.
And so, you know, I could never understand why you would like disappear, disappear. Like we would have a house full of people and we've always had a house full of people. And I think that's why I never thought past the fact that, what is wrong? Why, you know, it's rude of you. I remember rude of you to just leave. You know, we have company. And I even remember saying that to you a couple times, even like when it was just your siblings, you know, thinking, Z, why are you upstairs in the bed? You know, and here's the thing, Z, you know, it's like, for me, here I am, one who has studied mental health, who has gotten a whole degree in that area. But it just goes to show you that when it's home, sometimes you just don't see it. You just don't identify with, you know, when you're out there in the world and, you know, working with people on a clinical level, you know, or a social level, of course you pick up on people's problems, issues, you know, there are like cues that you see and different things. But when it's home, when it's your own, you know, you're so busy mothering and, and wifing and that type of thing. You don't, most people don't come home and engage their family on a mental health, you know, level, you know.
Yeah, you're not really thinking about
I'm not thinking about that. I'm not thinking about coming home being a therapist to my husband and my children and or you know, a social service worker at, you know, with my family. I'm not thinking about my family on that level. I'm thinking about you guys, like, y'all, this is my babies, this is my husband, you know, and things like that. So it's so easy to miss it. It's so easy to miss it, you know, and that's why I'm so grateful that now we do have a lot of information out there concerning mental health, you know, concerning, you know, people having depression and anxiety. And I, we keep talking about those two, but those two are the more relevant for us. You know, there are so many, different things that we can, you know, you can get on the internet and just look up stuff, you know, and get some help if you need that, you know, just like you're reading a book. You know, I, and that reminds me so much of myself because I remember, you know, years ago going through a certain situation. And I was really trying to get some help. And I remember reaching out to books. Books were my therapist and my counselors. You know, I was always looking for a book, an author, someone or some material that I could relate to or that could relate to me, where I didn't feel like I was this freak of nature and nobody could understand what I was going through.
Yeah, most definitely. I agree. Like right now is like the best time more than ever to like really tap in with all that, because it's so many resources out there. And I definitely want to talk about that as well a little later on.
Sure.
Just like some of the work I've been doing for myself and like on myself and mm-hmm. how that's really been like mm-hmm. transformative for me. Yeah, so, you know, like I was saying, like early on kind of dealt with that, dealt with depressive and like suicidal thoughts when I was mm-hmm. younger as well. Mm-hmm. Like in that journal was definitely some dark stuff, you know, mm-hmm. that I kind of like forgot about. And, you know, as I got older, just kind of suppressed, like just learning how to suppress.
Push and, it down.
Yeah, it was a point in time where like I didn't cry, like I hadn't cried in like years. I don't know if you remember, but I didn't realize how turned off I was to my emotions mm-hmm. or detached I was from my emotions until I had this realization. But during Pawpaw's funeral, like that was a period of time where like I was not crying and I did not cry. And I thought something was wrong with me. I'm like, what's wrong with me? Everybody else is crying. And like I had a relationship with my Pawpaw.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I would go over to the house and eat and, you know, I would see him and, you know, but like I didn't realize how detached at that time I was from like how I was feeling and my emotions. And like because it hurt so much, I just tried to shut it off.
So things that hurt a lot, just shut them off.
Just shut them off. And I think I did that for years up until the past, like last maybe 2 or 3 years when, you know, it just got so heavy to the point where you can't ignore your feelings. Like you can't try to ignore them or like, you know.
Or you can ignore them for so long.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, exactly. You could do it for so long, but eventually it's all going to catch up to you, you know? So like, it caught up to me. And, you know, I had a really, rough time. I was already having a rough time mentally. Especially like during the pandemic, cause it forced me to like be with myself a lot. And, you know, I was very in shape working out and, you know, taking care of myself. Right. And I eventually just started letting go of myself. And like during that time, I had gained like 40 pounds.
Did you?
I gained 40 pounds. I'm down 20 right now.
Wow.
Yeah, I gained 40 pounds. I was eating everything.
But I think we all gained
40
pounds.
Yeah, everybody. Yeah, we was all just trying to eat our emotions.
We just saw each other the same.
Exactly. Like nobody. And that's why when I forget what made me realize it. One day I looked up and I was like, I ain't got no abs no more. Like,
wow.
You know, but I didn't realize I was really starting to develop like a bad eating habit of like overeating to like compensate for like me feeling bad, you know, because I wasn't intact with my emotions.
Yeah.
And that's even something today that I still work on. Like, that's why I'm so big on like how I eat sometimes because like I have to. Because I'll easily go binge and go to In-N-Out and get 2 burgers and or 2 grilled cheese because I don't eat the burger, the meat, and an animal fry and a shake and a this and a that and like overdo it, you know, and like it feels good temporarily,
right?
Because of the dopamine rush, but that's just temporary, you know, like it's not long term. And so I mean, during that time, I was kind of like dealing with that. So, of course, like my self-image wasn't good. And at that time, I still wasn't realizing a lot of things. I think an important thing I'm learning about my healing right now is when you're ready to know, your body knows when you're ready to know.
Okay.
You know, so like it took me years to realize the things that I'm realizing now. It took me years to be able to have the conversations I'm having with you guys now. Like I couldn't tell you at 12. How something made me feel or how I internalized something you said or did or like, you know. And during that period of time, it was a very confusing time because I was suppressing my emotions. And then I'm also at a point where I'm like, I'm tired of feeling like this. And so, you know, I'm trying to read books and I'm learning things and I'm watching podcasts and all kind of stuff. But like, I'm still, because I'm not in tune with my emotions, nothing's coming up. So I'm feeling like almost like gaslighting myself. Like you have no reason to feel like this. You know, and like you have no reason to like you grew up with, you know, this, that, and the third. Like you have no, like, what are you feeling?
Well, you got a great family.
Exactly.
You know?
Like, you know, what are you feeling depressed for? And, you know, just kind of like downplaying that. And it wasn't until I had that breaking point. And just to kind of like let everyone know, trigger warning for those of you who are sensitive to the topic. But I had a suicide attempt. Mm-hmm. And it was a very scary time for myself. I'd struggled with that for a while, but never to the point where I actually like attempted to do something and like went through with it, you know?
Are you ready to take your streaming broadcast, website, or social media visuals up a notch? Pyro Media Productions is here with the perfect solution. From dynamics, design, and professional headshot shoots to family photo ops, they've got all you need for stunning content creation. Check out pyromediaproductions.com today and add that creative flair. Pyro Media Productions, setting brands ablaze since 2017.
I'd struggled with that for a while, but never to the point where I actually like attempted to do something and like went through with it, you know? And luckily, you know, it didn't work. Like, you know, it wasn't working. It wasn't happening. Yeah.
No. But you know, I think if I could just speak to that time too, it didn't work. And then it's just amazing how God puts you in places and has people around. I mean, not to like just go over every detail of that time, but it was like everything or everyone that was supposed to be in place was where they were supposed to be, you know, to make sure that you were okay.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And, you know, it was a very hard time for our family. You know, let me just say that for families, because one thing, I was talking with a friend of mine and we were talking about how we just recently learned of this person who died in a car crash. And we were talking about, oh, when they died in the car crash, another person was killed as well. And we were talking about how, you know, that person's life is no more, but how various other people that was in that person's life are now affected. So it's like one life is gone, but maybe 20 lives are forever changed. You know, and so for families who may have dealt with something like that, a child or a family member who has had not just suicidal ideation, but actually acted upon it, it's difficult for families. Even like you said, it didn't work, you know, it still changed us. It changed our family. It changed our family dynamic. How we dealt with one another and how we saw each other. And, you know, I think for like your dad and I as parents, it made us question our parenting. It made us question so many things. It made us question, you know, are we really a good family? You know, are we really a happy family? I mean, you know, so many things. And then, you know, there's also a shame that comes with that because, and it's not that you're ashamed of your child. In no way were we ashamed of you, but we were ashamed of ourselves because as a parent, you feel like you failed your child, you failed your family in some kind of way, you know, because you didn't see it coming, you know, you didn't notice the signs. And then what was it that you did as a parent that, that made that, and you always put it on yourself, always make it about you. And that was one of the things that we really worked hard at, is trying not to make it about us, but you tend to do that because you tend to go into the, well, what, you know, what did we do wrong? You know, what did we do wrong? You know? And so, that was something that that we as a family dealt. People didn't know we were dealing with that. Mm-hmm. You know, we kept it to ourselves and we tried to deal with it. You know, I mean, of course, everybody had their person,
right?
You know, because everybody needs a person,
exactly.
You know, and everybody had their person. Mm-hmm. And I just remember, like, you know, when I spoke to my person about it, you know, we both broke down and cried, mm-hmm. you know, because, of course, because they love you and mm-hmm. are close to you, but, mm-hmm. and it hurt them. But, you know, as a parent, you know, that person just kind of vibing with me as one parent to the other, mm-hmm. it was like, gosh, are we really doing the right thing mm-hmm. as parents? And, you know, and honestly, most of us are, mm-hmm. most of us are, mm-hmm. but we have to also understand that even as parents, that there are some areas of our children's lives that we are really not in tune with, mm-hmm. you know, and that we really have no control over.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And so we have to learn how to relinquish that control mm-hmm. and say, we need help. Mm-hmm. We need help. And I remember that day mm-hmm. when you, because you were out of the country.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We were on vacation.
You were out of the country. And that was, oh my God. Yeah. I think that was probably the worst day of my life, you know, waiting for you to get home, mm-hmm. you know, and just not knowing what to do.
Yeah.
Really, I don't think I've ever in my whole life ever felt so helpless. Mm-hmm. Like, I am a mom of this child. I am the mother of this child. I push this child out. I should know everything about mm-hmm. her. You know, her existence began inside of me. And I don't know what the blankety blank mm-hmm. to do.
Wow.
And so I remember just doing things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right.
I was like, I don't care. I was trying. With the night you came home, remember, I made you sleep with me.
Right, yeah, you made me sleep in between you and Dad.
I made you sleep.
I did that, I don't know how.
Yes, I made you sleep with us. And then Dad was like, look, it's too many. We big now, right. So I'm going to go in here and sleep, you know. But because I didn't know what to do.
Yeah, that's real. That's real.
I remember calling, you know, because you were seeing a therapist at the time. Mm-hmm. I remember calling your therapist. Mm-hmm. He was like, yeah, I can't tell you anything. Mm-hmm. If Zion gives me permission, then I was like, okay, well, mm-hmm. I'm going to ask her to give me permission because I need to do something, you know?
Yeah.
And so we did. And so we took steps and, mm-hmm. and we can just share with the listeners so that they'll know that you may have to do this, you know? And so, I took you to the mm-hmm. hospital mm-hmm. and, told them what you had attempted mm-hmm. to do, and they kept you there, mm-hmm. you know? And I think that was one of the hardest things to do, because I remember you kept saying to me, Mom, I'm okay. Mm-hmm. I'm okay. I can go home. Mm-hmm. I'm really okay.
Yeah.
You know? And I just remember I kept telling myself, mm-hmm. no, don't do it.
Yeah.
Don't, no, you have to do this.
Yeah.
And so a lot of great things sprung from that.
Yeah.
You know, you met a great person that helped you, you know, see some things. You had a person that you, you know, did intake with mm-hmm. and helped you and all of that. But, you know, and then we got into some more heavy duty therapy and mm-hmm. things like that. But just as a parent, and I want you to go back to, you know, what you were saying, mm-hmm. but as a parent, mm-hmm. my God, it is probably one of the most helpless places that you can be. And there are others, don't get me wrong. Mm-hmm. There are others, but, as a parent, when you just, you don't know what to do.
Yeah.
You really don't know what to do. And as a parent, you always know what to do. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. kids always come and go, Mommy, you know, I got to do this and that. What do I do? And you just come up with answers,
right? Yeah.
You know, because you're mommy, you're parent,
right.
You know. But when you're in that position, mm-hmm. you not only don't know what to do, but then you feel like such a failure because you don't know what to do.
Yeah.
And you feel like a failure because apparently it was something you were supposed to do mm-hmm. that you didn't do.
Yeah.
So it's all these things that are going through your mind as a parent of a child who has attempted suicide, you know, was not successful, praise the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I just, my heart goes out to those parents whose children were successful, unfortunately, in that way. I can't even imagine what they are going through. And what they're facing on a daily basis, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, even for me today, you know, this was, what, a couple years ago?
Mm-hmm. Like 2 years ago?
Yeah, 2 years ago in September.
Mm-hmm.
And, you
or
know.
January.
It was January?
Yeah.
Okay. January. And so for me, even now, you know, it's like I'm checking in, you know? I'm checking in. And sometimes I feel like I don't check in enough. And then there are times where I'm just kind of watching you.
Yeah, I know.
And I'm not trying to make you feel weird or anything, but
yeah, I'm ignoring.
I'm you watching me, watching you.
Yeah, watching you.
Okay. You know, and so, but it's just it's a forever learning experience.
Yeah.
So I wanted you to just kind of pick up.
Yeah. No, that was really good. Like, I know how you felt about it, or I know how you felt about the situation, but just to kind of like really hear more in depth, like your perception or perspective, I should say, as a parent, because that's really important too, like, you know, because now that I see things a little more clearer, you know, I'm not completely, you know, where I want to be yet, but I'm seeing things clearer. Like, I understand everything that you guys did, you know, at that time.
Yeah.
And, like, I can appreciate it now.
Yeah, yeah.
When at that time, it just felt like a lot, you know? Because I'm like...
It's like, you're doing too much, Mom.
Yeah, but, like, now I can appreciate it, you know? Like, and I can see, you know, that you guys... It was coming from where a good place, or where it was supposed to
come
from, of course.
You know, and that was probably one of the... I'm going to say this, too, but that was probably one of the first times... Because I'm that mom, even though I act like I don't care. I'm like, I don't care if you're mad.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care. But I really always cared.
Yeah,
you
know? Right.
Because I love my kids, and I love when my kids love me and like me. But I knew at that point, I did not care if you liked or didn't like what I was doing at that point.
Right.
You know, because my main objective was to keep you here.
That's fair.
You know, so it was like, I don't care if she mad. I don't care if she got an attitude. I don't care if she don't want to sleep with me. You know, it's like either you sleep with me or we get handcuffed together. I mean, you know, you choose your poison.
Right. I remember you saying that too. Get handcuffed together. But yeah, that was such a crazy place for me because I was so good at hiding it. I hid it for so long and just became, I guess, comfortable, like in my own bubble with it, you know, like never really reached out to too many people about it. I know, like, you know, I've been going to different therapists since probably like middle school now, but even with them, like, they probably couldn't even tell you, you know, why, you know, because I didn't know what to tell them. You know, I was still deeply in it.
Yeah.
You know?
But let me, I'm glad you brought that up. Mm-hmm. And this is not a knock at any therapist that you ever saw. Okay. But the amazing thing was, like, every therapist, you know, that you saw, they always had these wonderful things to say about you. She's so insightful. She's so smart. You know, she's so aware. And I'm thinking, well, what's going on? You know, what am I missing? You know, and I would always go, I know she's smart. I know she's insightful. I know she has a lot of awareness, you know, but what is happening inside of her that makes her, you know, this sad, you know, this depressed, And so that was always a question for me, you know, as your mom, it's like, I'm hearing all these great things. Even the lady at the hospital, you know, she was kind of getting on my nerves because she kept, and she's such a great person and great. I was like, yeah, but you, she just tried to take herself out of here. So I need you to focus there. You
know? You she know? Was trying to recruit me.
You know, and I was like, no, not yet, you know. And, but, you know, it's Zion, I want to say this. I am so proud of you because you have taken your mental health into your own hands. You know, you're 20 years old, about to be 21, but you have taken the responsibility of your mental health into your own hands. You have made it, you know, your thing, your responsibility. You have searched out your therapists and the types of therapy and, you know, and books to read and just, you know, different podcasts that you listen to and people who give, you know, advice and, you know, and all of that. And even the way the people that you put yourself around, you know, your friends and that type of thing. You've taken great responsibility for yourself. And so I want to say that I'm very proud of you for that. And I just want to thank you because I know that there are other parents out there who are feeling so responsible to make things happen. But you are like making it happen. I never have to ask you, did you go to therapy? You know, you always make it happen. You, and, and therapy is not cheap.
Nah, it's not.
So you make that investment, you know, into yourself, you know, because you know it's important.
Right.
So I just want to thank you for that. I want to thank you for taking that stand and being that responsible person and not using excuses as to why, you know, you can't spend the money or take the time out, or, you know, or whatever it is.
No, definitely. One thing I had to learn that was kind of like a realization for myself was that you can become addicted to certain emotions. And you could become addicted to the response that you get from the people around you for certain emotions.
That's very true.
And we have to be real, especially those of us that struggle with our mental health. We have to be real at times where it's like, are we, you know, and it's a sensitive thing to say, but I feel, at least speaking for myself, I could say it. It was a point in time when I wasn't ready to do the work and didn't really want to do the work or, or stay on top of the work, and but still expected sympathy, still expected.
So almost like manipulating.
Yeah, in a sense. And you don't even realize that you're doing it because I can't really break it down on like the scientific level that like I heard it, but pretty much how it happens is like, it's certain, of course, chemicals that are released when we experience certain thoughts and that trigger certain emotions. Emotions are just chemicals basically released by the brain, dopamine, serotonin, all that kind of stuff. And so, pretty much like when those emotions are released constantly, it creates a certain
euphoria.
Yeah, like a euphoria. You know, like, you know, when you get adrenaline, like sometimes it like can feel rush. Good, like a rush. You know, or, you know, like it feels bad. It feels so bad that it feels good. If that makes sense.
It does.
And so sometimes we can become addicted to those emotions. And that's why, like, sometimes it's hard to break out of that mental rut that you're in because your body and brain is so used to responding to certain triggers a certain way. You know, it's like it feels better to go about it this way than it does to go work out, or than it does to go read a book, or than it does to go to therapy. It feels better to go cry about it, you know, and cry all you need to, but go cry about it and not do anything to like anything beneficial mm-hmm. on top of that, mm-hmm. than to just, you know, it feels better to go do that than to, you know, go do something a little more productive that's going to help you more long term, right, you know, with your mental.
You know, Zion, I want us to bring this particular, I want to call this part mm-hmm. one.
Okay.
Because we have so much yeah. that we can talk about.
For real.
I want to call this part one of our journey to mental wholeness, mm-hmm. you know, me and my baby. Mm-hmm. and I want us to pick up with part two for the next podcast. Yeah. But I want to say to those listeners that are out there, you know, I really hope that this has been helpful to you. And parents, I just want to say, talk to your children, you know, pay attention to them, pay attention to their behaviors, any changes that you see in their behaviors, in their appearance, in their grades, in the friends that they choose. You know, even like Zion said, you know, she was more isolating herself. You know, pay attention to those things, you know, so that you can stay in tune with your child, because dealing with a child, your child, your baby that has attempted to take their life is not an easy thing to deal with. And so I wish it upon no one, and I pray vigorously for those parents whose children actually follow through and did commit suicide. I pray for you, and pray that God would just heal you. But I just want to say to my listeners, thank you for tuning in. Thank you for taking the time out to listen to this. Zion and I are going to come back with part two as we continue to talk about, you know, our journey to mental wholeness. Thank you for listening. You take care and you stay safe.